Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Today's chapel speaker is Dr. Terry Woodson, who currently serves as the advisor to the African American students here at DTS. And in addition to these responsibilities, he also pastors the Bethel Bible Fellowship and serves as president of the Urban Evangelical Mission. Dr. Woodson has a unique gift of both preaching and teaching God's Word in the practical application of everyday life. Every Friday at 1:30 p.m., his ministry is heard on KHCB 105.7 FM, entitled The Friday Bible Study. He's married to his beloved, Harvetha, and they have four sons that range from 27 down to 21. Said he had them about every 2 years. And we're privileged also this morning to have his mom, whose name is Evelyn, who is here on our front row, and we welcome you this morning. Dr. Woodson will come speak to us.
Now the house is warm. Amen. Kyle and Lance and Jermaine and Jolina, Candace, Lakeisha, Sparkle, Erica, Kathy and Pearly, appreciate your wonderful ministry this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you more than anything. Father, may that be our prayer, that our love for you outshines what we are about. May our love for you outshine our aspirations. May our love for you outshine any degrees, any accomplishments, any possessions we have. Lord, I love you more than anything. Father, forgive us for allowing other things to take your place in our lives. Father, forgive us for easily becoming sidetracked and losing focus. Father, forgive us. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name, amen. I was in Chicago during the month of February. That is the worst time in the world to go to Chicago during the month of February. They say that there's a hawk that comes in off the lake there, and you just can't stand still outside. You're just constantly moving. They call it the Chicago shuffle. And I had a chance to visit with my niece, who works at Lawndale Community Church, in their wonderful community clinic they have there. Matter of fact, she's been accepted to Dallas Seminary. She'll be coming here in the fall. Her name is Elizabeth. Rachel's the other one. Elizabeth Woodson, so make sure you greet her. She came here for Discover Dallas, and she just fell in love with the place. But she showed me and her father around the clinic. We started in the back, and we worked our way up to the front. And she said, "This is where the ladies come to get their exams." I said, "Okay, let's quickly move past that point." And we walked all around the clinic, walked past the offices, and just a beautiful, modern, up-to-date facility. Then we walked to the front of the facility, and there was a chapel. And the opposite side of the chapel was the receptionist. And right above the receptionist's heads were these words, "Loving God, loving others." As soon as you walked into the building, you would see the smiling receptionist, and above her head were these big, bold words, "Loving God, loving others." And I said to myself, this place has got it. That's really what we are all about. That's our call from God, is to love Him and to love others. That's our call. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is one of those well-known passages of Scripture in Luke chapter 10, that Good Samaritan story there. We all know the story. Just a wonderful parable there, but before the parable is unveiled by Jesus, he has a conversation with a lawyer. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Verse 26, "And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" That's an interesting question. Who is my neighbor? Lawyer came to Jesus, as the text says, and asked Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Expert in the law, expert in the Old Testament teachings, Jesus said, "You know, what does the law say?" Probably turned in his mind to Deuteronomy and found a wonderful passage and just quoted that passage. "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your spirit. With everything you have, you must love the Lord your God." I've been having some conversations with some friends who are from the pietistic movement, and it's been a delight learning from them and interacting with them and dialoguing with them. And the pietists, they believe in taking the Word of God, taking Christianity, and moving it from our mind down to our hearts. And this group takes it even a little bit further, taking it not only to your heart, but taking it to your feet. It needs to be in your mind. You need to be intellectually astute, but it shouldn't stay there. Your love for God, your love for Jesus Christ, your willingness to serve God needs to move from your mind down to your heart. And it's more than just an emotional response to God, but it needs to wind up with some action in your feet. And they challenge me to fall back in love with God again. They challenge me to get back to the spiritual disciplines. That is good to fast. That is good to pray. That is good to give. They challenge me that it's good to find your spiritual rhythm of spending time walking with God and praying with God. They challenge me with the need to become quiet before the Almighty God. That sometimes we get so busy doing this and doing that and doing the other that we crowd out the voice of God in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. Everything about you, use that to love God. And then that lawyer said something else to Jesus. He said, not only must we love God, but we must love our neighbor. Not just love our neighbor, but love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, he asked that question because he knew he was already failing the test. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? On campus, we have the privilege of being around some of the best minds. You are some of the brightest students around. We have a wonderful faculty that impacted my life like they impacted your life. And we get busy doing stuff. And one thing I've noticed being on campus is that sometimes we're so focused on going to class, we're so focused on our next paper, we're so focused on passing a quiz, that sometimes we forget our neighbors, each other. And we can walk right past each other and not even speak. You notice that? I want to challenge you this afternoon when you leave here to find someone, walk past them, and say, "Hey, you know, they'll probably jump, you know, but hey, how you doing? And then pause and wait for them to give you a response. How are you doing? And pause. And the person may say, fine, or the person may break down and start to cry because they're going through a difficult time. Who's my neighbor? I have a friend, seminary student, lives in an apartment complex, and he has a desire to minister to his physical neighbors around him. And it's been a wonderful experience watching him minister to his neighbors. One neighbor had cancer and went over to that neighbor's house and ministered to that neighbor, an unsaved person. But what can I do to assist you? Who are our neighbors? Now, we're told in Luke that one of the responsibilities of Christians is that we have to preach the gospel to the poor. We have to bring deliverance to the oppressed. And it just lists the various obligations that we have to the world. And we have an obligation as men and women who are called by God to deliver his gospel to be men and women of compassion in the midst of a world that lacks compassion. And I had the opportunity of working with Urban Evangelical Mission. We're closing the doors of the mission now, but in its heyday, it started 40 churches across the country. We had what we called Operation Relief, and that's still going strong down there in South Dallas. And I remember during Thanksgiving time, we would deliver baskets all over the city of Dallas to needy families. We had a day camp, and we'd load up the bus, and we'd take kids out to Pine Cove. We'd take kids out to Grapeland, Texas, to camp. And you know, it was just a wonderful experience of ministering to those who had need. But ministry is not only to those who are poor, who are disadvantaged, but there are a lot of folk around us, just like you and me, who need good quality ministry. And God has placed you there to minister to those needs. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Give me a clear definition. Give me the technical definition of a neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Well, that's when Jesus breaks out with that wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. Going back to the text, Luke chapter 10. It says in verse 30, Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Just a wonderful parable. This man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Robbers came and they beat them and they left them along the side of the road. Another story, the priest came, the Levite came, and they saw the man in need, and they chose not to minister to that man's need, but instead they walked to the other side of the road and continued on their journey. The folks who you would think would have the most compassion had the least amount of compassion. The professionals had the least amount of compassion. But the person who you would think would have the least amount of compassion had the most compassion for this hurting man. The text says, and along came a Samaritan. A contrast between this man, these two men who were professionally trained, and this man who was considered the social outcast by the Jews. He was the lowest on the totem pole, a Samaritan. The Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. The Jews would go around Samaria. They would not interact with one another. The Jews probably thought they were even better than the Samaritans, these half-breeds. But this unlikely man stopped. And the text said he felt compassion. You know, that inner working within your soul, that desire within you, that tenderness, that compassion for the person that's hurting. And he felt compassion. And he stopped. And he ministered to this person out of his own provisions. Took the oil. Took the wine. Took his own clothes and probably used them for bandages. He used his own resources. He took him to the inn and put him on his beast and took him to the inn and even paid for him to be there, to be recuperating. He used his own resources to minister to this man. It's interesting as the text closes out. Look what it says at the end of 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. He told him that twice. He said, do. Do. Imperative. Do. It's what I want for you. Do. Feel the compassion, but do something. Do something. One of my wonderful experiences at Dallas Seminary was doing my internship program. I did an internship as a chaplain at Parkland Hospital. And that was a wonderful place to do an internship at Parkland Hospital. That was the county hospital. It still is the county hospital. Everybody goes to Parkland. Rich, poor, black, white, you know, doesn't matter. Folks make their way through Parkland. The ER, that's fantastic. And I remember coming there that day. My supervisor was Phil Del Rosario. He's passed on. He gave me a name tag. It said Terry Woodson. And I had my little suit on and my little tie. In the seminary, you have two suit coats in seminary. We had to dress up every day back then. I had a blue one, and I think I had a brown one. You know, either wore a blue one or a brown one. Didn't matter what color tie you had on or the shirt you had on. You know, just wore your two little sport coats. So I had my Bible, my name tag, and my tie. And he said, these are your assignments. And I was assigned to three floors. I was assigned to the pregnancy floor, the long-term pregnancy floor. Women, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed that. 22 years old, you know, just as green as I could be. And I walked into that ward of pregnant women. 13, 14, 15 years old, watching the soap operas, and here comes the chaplain. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Then I had this long-term care floor, and my goal was to talk to all the patients. And this one Sunday afternoon, I was on call, so I said, let me visit my rooms. Went to this run room, and this man was there. I don't know who he was. I don't remember his name. I don't remember his nationality. But he was in this room alone, and he was in pain. Came in the room, introduced myself. Hello, my name is Chaplain Woodson. I just came by to see today. He said, thank you. I want you to take some of this ointment and rub my feet. And he pulled a cover back, and he had two feet that were just pure black. Horrible sight. Just horrible. And then I said to myself, what would Jesus do? And so I started to make some excuses. You know, I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm not allowed to administer any type of medication. You know, he said, that's okay. Just put this ointment on my feet. They itch. They're in pain. And the ointment would just soothe it. I'll do it myself, but I just can't reach my feet. So I got on a pair of rubber gloves, and I squeezed the ointment on my fingers. And I rubbed his horrible feet. You know what he said to me? Oh, thank you. Now, who are you again? I said, I'm Chaplain Woodson. I came by to see you today. And he said, well, pull up a chair and sit down. Let's talk. And I remember that day. We just sat and watched the game, and we talked about life. We talked about his family. We talked about what he was going through. We talked about his issues. We talked about his struggles. You know, but first I had to do something. I had to touch his ugly feet. And that opened the door to minister to his soul. So who is your neighbor? Your neighbors are all around you. They're your friends. But I especially believe your neighbors are those unsafe folks that God has placed in your life, in your apartment complex, where you work. The sinners who do what they do best, they sin, and they look at you, and they come to you. And God tells you, you need to minister to them, not just know about them, not just feel for them, but you need to do something. Do. Go and do likewise. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. It's a privilege to be called by you to touch the hearts and the lives of people you place in our path. Father, continue to give us hearts of compassion, to slow down, to focus on need, to touch a life, to touch a heart. And Lord, if we're called to soothe feet that are crusty and black, Father, give us that compassion to rub that ointment on their souls. Lord, we love you more than anything. We love you, Father. In Christ's name, amen.